Welcome to Career Tools. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, Getting Ready to Get Promoted, Chapter 8, Documentation.
The questions this cast answers are, what documentation should I be making if I want to get promoted? Why is the documentation for getting promoted different? And how will I use this documentation to get promoted?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Before we get to it, did you know you can be licensed to teach the manager tools concepts, effective manager, effective communicator, effective hiring manager, to your organization? If you're interested, send us a note to customerservice@manager-tools.com. Now, on to the show.
So we have a long-running series with 7 chapters, obviously, up till now, about getting promoted. And the fact that we have 8 chapters and more to come should suggest to you that there is more to getting promoted than doing good work and hoping you get noticed. And in this guidance, we're going to talk about another piece of evidence that you can use to strengthen your case for promotion and track whether or not you're on track to get a promotion, and that's documentation.
So what we're going to cover today is document for yourself. You need to document your 150%. Then document your relationships and document your professional progress.
So starting with documenting for yourself. So that this documentation that we're going to suggest that you create is to support your promotion, but it's for your own benefit. We don't want to give you the idea that you're just like compiling this pile of evidence that you're going to put together in a presentation or put it in one of those legal folders with a big red bow on it and present it to your boss and say, hey, look, here's all the evidence. You have to promote me, because that is not a kind of conversation that will go over well, even if you do have lots of evidence and reasons that they should promote you. Like, you have to start that conversation earlier with, like, what do you think I should do to get promoted? And we have a whole cast about that. But this, like, what we don't want you to think is, like, we're going to give you a list of things to collect, and you collect them and you just go to your boss and say, hey, promote me because it's here. That won't work. That's not how promotions work. And so this documentation is important on your route to promotion. It's a roadmap for you, and it's a way of checking off the things that you need to do, but it's not for making an evidence pile for your boss.
And this documentation is also different than any other documentation that you might be making in your ordinary course of your job. This is not the documentation of your daily tasks or even the kind of documentation you keep for your performance review, but this is the recording of achievements, skill development, and progress towards the promotion criteria. It provides both a record of those activities and gives you progress check of where you are and a roadmap for what you will still need to do.
And the fact that you need a roadmap, hopefully, will suggest that you need a good idea of what your manager's job consists of, or what that promoted job consists of, more of which in a moment. But you'll want things like a job description or a requirements list for that role. You'll want a list of what things you've been told are required for a promotion. Sometimes that job description doesn't have things like, oh, you have to spend 6 months in a customer-facing role, or you have to have dealt with budgets of over $6 million, because that's like the secret or the sort of a standard within a company. They're not usually secret, but it's the thing that's not written down on the job description, but it's a standard or a cultural standard that people keep to. And often you've been told that, or you can watch other people and see what they've done that you haven't, or work out, oh, the 5 people that have been promoted, all of those people had that experience. Write that on your list, because you're going to need it too. Then there's like the requirements for all managers. If you want to be a manager, running a meeting, running a project, managing a budget are our 3 standards. Now, in modern organizations, budgets have been moved farther and farther away from the first line managers. But it would be good to know what your manager's budget is and what influence they have over what spending happens, just so that you know what that role's going to be like when you get there. And this list that we're compiling becomes all the things that you need to learn and experience and demonstrate to get that promotion. And your documentation is you checking off examples of that learning and experience. And that is the demonstration that you have everything you need in order to be promoted.
And it is entirely possible that you'll use this documentation for future conversations with your boss about being promoted, and or for interview answers, whether those interviews are internal or you end up seeking a new role externally. This means that you'll need to keep enough data and good enough documentation that you can discuss the situation, the actions, or the skills used in a persuasive way.
So we want to update this information at least monthly. Somebody also suggested weekly. That seemed a lot to me, but at least monthly, so that the actions are fresh enough in your mind that you can take good notes. And weekly, you might think, oh, this thing is a thing that I really need to put on that list. So, you know, you might open it during the week, but not as a routine thing. And take good notes, because who hasn't written some notes that they've looked at later and said, I have no idea what I meant by that. I think I did that an hour ago. So you want to include things like the situation or the challenge, what was happening, what actions you took, what the measurable outcomes were. So if there was, I don't know, some kind of system down that you fixed, like how long was it down for? How long did it take you to fix it? How many people were affected? Those kind of things. And also the key people you were working with, because you might want their support later on. And while you're updating, just flip back to the previous months and see if there's something that needs updating from those previous months. Like it's possible that a situation 3 months ago, there could have been an update or a change, or 3 months ago you were told, hey, next time you do that, you have to do it differently. And now today something happened where you can show that you did it differently, and you want to kind of connect those two things, which is all, you know, obvious. But part of the reason we do this is we say the obvious things out loud that perhaps you don't think of if you just send them, you know, unless somebody said, hey, flip back, I might not do it, you know?
Yeah, just helpful reminders to review what you write down. Because also, if you can't remember what you wrote a couple months ago, it's more obvious if you check it frequently than like, oh, I'm so glad I checked that, because that now makes very little sense. So I need to add more information. And things change month to month, right? So make sure that you're keeping track of that. And the fact that you may end up using this documentation later for external interviews means that you should have at least a copy of it on a device or service that is just yours privately, that is not owned by the company. You don't want to lose it when and if you have to leave abruptly, right? Sometimes as soon as that notice goes out, everything gets kind of locked away from you, and you don't want to lose it on a server. So make sure that you have it in more than one place so you can access it easily.
And you might want to have it, you know, in a private space somewhere on the internet anyway. But for those of you who think, oh, I'll put it on something that you access frequently so that you're reminded it's there, also have a copy that you'll be able to access if you're not inside the company.
I think if you're a remote worker and your work computer is also basically your personal computer,
yeah,
it can get jumbled and it can get taken away. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Next, document your 150%. So what's the 150% mean? That is the Manager Tools promotion standard. And if you guess what, there's a podcast about that. And the standard is you have to be doing 100% of your job and 50% of your manager's job or that promoted job in order to be promoted. And we know that's different from the way most people would think. Most people would think, I'm really good at my job, now I can get a promotion to the next job. And we're saying, no, not so fast. So we've got a good reason for it. So let's explain to you how we explain this to managers, and then we'll explain how it benefits you.
So the de facto promotion standard today is wrong. Just like Wendy said, the promotion standards today in most, I would say 95% of organizations are based on transition. In other words, can this person make the jump to the higher job? It's the same standard most organizations ask when hiring. Can we put them in the job? But remember, the Manager Tools hiring standard, we set the bar high. It's not the 95% standard, we set the bar high.
And then it's so much easier to manage your teams. So the core principle for managers is develop your directs for excellence in their new role, not just the transition. And the way that benefits you is it means that you enter the role with 50% of it under your belt already. It's 50% of that job is comfortable. So you can focus on learning the rest once you're there, instead of having to go into a new job and suddenly, you know, you get promoted. Everyone's like, oh, I'm waiting for big things. And you've got to learn a whole new job. It just makes that transition so much easier, especially if you're making that big leap from individual contributor to managing the team that does the work. Everybody says that's the hardest one. Well, you could make it easier by already doing 50% before you're officially doing it, so that you're only learning that other 50%.
This is in part why you need to know what your manager is responsible for in the previous section. Remember, we said write out all of those things that they're responsible for so you know what that roadmap should look like. So the 150% rule means documenting the work you're doing that falls into your manager's role, not just tracking progress of your assigned objectives. So here are some examples. Leading project initiatives, delivering presentations, managing and delivering team reports, running strategic meetings, covering managerial duties during absences. So if your manager ever takes that vacation and you're in charge, document it and let them take the vacation. Coaching team members. If you're helping bring someone up to a standard, if you're helping them learn a skill that you already have, document it. And developing other skills. So whether that's coaching or just helping them bring them along, that new hire, document it.
So what we're trying to do is document our capability rather than listing tasks. So when you're taking notes or you're making notes about those things, don't just write, I don't know, deliver the report at the executive meeting. What we want to do is create the documentation as if you were going to use it for an interview response, because getting a promotion is applying for the next job. It's getting a promotion and being interviewed, like, it's the same thing. So you might want to write, think in your head, tell me about a time when you delivered a report to executives. And then what you want to write down is who was there, what were you reporting, what did you consider, how did you adapt your presentation to make sure it met the needs of the audience? What was different about this than any other presentation that you made? The standard start to any interview question is, tell me about a time when. So if you're writing down a time when, which is the thing you're just doing, if you think about it that way, like, this is what I'm going to need to have later. That's one way to make sure you're taking good notes.
Also, make sure that you include the task, activities, projects, and relationships that you've taken on independently rather than having them assigned to you. Would it be a Career Tools podcast if we didn't mention relationships and how important those are, right?
Yeah.
What? We circled back to relationships.
Yeah. We're gonna get there in a big style in a second too.
Yeah. And one skill managers have is noticing what needs to be done. So this is a record of you having that skill, you taking initiative, you going out, not assigned to you, but making those relationships, taking on those tasks, something that's independent of what's been assigned to you. Make sure you write that down.
And one other category to note is the things which count because they're important internally, even though they're not something that would be persuasive outside the company. So for example, if leading the charity drive committee is important in your company, it's that charity drive is a highlight and it's well publicized and it's an important part of the company culture. Internally, leading that committee has a lot more weight than it might have outside the company. Outside the company, you want probably to have an example of leading a team that's doing work, as it were. Not that this wouldn't be work, but you know, customer facing, value generating work. But inside the company, because there's these things which are culturally important and sort of count more, you want to make sure that you're noting those things.
Pardon the interruption, folks, but important announcement to be made. Everyone likes saving money. Did you know all of our licenses, Career Tools, Manager Tools, and Executive Tools, include discounts to our products and training? Regardless of the license type, you can take advantage of savings of as much as $50 on products and training. Check it out under the membership section at manager-tools.com to learn more. And if you have any questions, then our website doesn't answer them. Customer service at manager-tools.com and ask for Sarah. Now back to the show.
Now let's talk about how you document your relationships. Told you we'd circle back to it. Documenting relationships. Sounds odd because we think of our relationships as organic and not data-driven. And that's true, except that we do keep count, unconsciously, of who we know, the quality of that relationship, and the numbers of favors we've done, and the number of favors that we're owed. So we don't necessarily mean to, but it's always in the back of your mind when you think of the relationships with others, especially in the workplace.
And the more senior you are, the more your relationships matter, because you're not getting things done yourself. You're not doing the work. You're getting things done through other people. And so taking stock of your relationships is a really good habit to get into early, because they will only become more important as you go further through your career. And for more senior roles, and in some cases, when we say more senior roles, we're only talking about first line managers here. So we're not talking about, you know, executives. For some of those senior roles, relationships are more important than your technical or professional knowledge, which is where the very first manager tools cast came from. It's called A Solution to a Stalled Technical Career. And it's about someone who had amazing technical skills, but no relationships. And that's why their career got stuck. So yeah, relationships are incredibly important, more important than you think, and eclipse your technical skills fairly quickly in your career.
Yeah. And make sure you take note anytime you're relationship building, persuading, negotiating, or resolving conflicts outside of your immediate team. You know you do these things, but we don't think to document them, to remember, to kind of make that flowchart of how they can help me in the future, right? Mm-hmm. We just know that person, or they helped us in the past, but we can't really remember. So, and know that if this list is short, then you'll want to work on it. You will need supporters on your push to get promoted. This is a way of capturing who's on your side and analyzing whether you have enough of those people. And if not, you know who you are and where you need to put the effort into. So again, it might sound silly to write these down or document it, but putting a visual to your network can sometimes be very helpful, or it can really make you think about who could I reach out to for help? Who's helped me in the past? Who have I helped in the past? Because that's all part of the network and be very eye-opening. If you have a long list, that's great. But if you have a short list, you might need to work on it.
Yeah, knowing who, if there was a poll taken, should we promote this person, who would support you, is really important. Because in some sense, there isn't an official poll. But it is possible that leadership put sort of a finger in the air and like, how's the feeling about if we promote this person, is everybody going to be okay with it? Do people believe that it's valid? So knowing who your supporters are is important. And document both your internal and external relationships, because both count when it comes to the skills of relationship building and persuasion and so on. Internal relationships are more likely to be a good source of support for your promotion, but external customers or suppliers, people you work with outside, they could provide weight to your evidence. So don't count them out. Just know that probably, when it comes down to it, the internal ones will count more.
The more good things that people are saying about you, internal and external, the better. Because that gets noticed. Your skills get noticed, but your relationships and what people say about you also get noticed and matter the more you move up. Now let's talk about how to document your professional progress. While we've just stated that relationships are more important than technical and or professional knowledge, if you need a qualification to make that next level, make sure you're keeping track of them. This immediately puts in my brain continuing education and documenting it as you go, not in 3 years when you need it. Not every profession needs continuing education. However, if any of you have waited till that 3-year mark to document it all so you can send in, it's awful. So document it as you go, because if that next job needs that information, it's so much easier to keep track of it. And it's the little things.
This whole thing is a lot of what we tend to do is get to the moment when we think, hey, I should be promoted. I've been doing all this stuff. I feel ready. You know, I'd like extra money. So I'm going to go to my boss. And then you have to go back and find all this evidence and think about like, what? How am I going to tell my boss that I've done all these things and is it going to remember? And if it's not, then I need to find someone and who's going to support me and stuff. And so what we tend to do is not do it until the moment we think, oh, I want to get promoted. Well, and what you're saying is it's the same, right? But we tend not to think about documenting our continuing education until the moment we have to send that documentation in. And what we're saying is this is a way of thinking about all of that stuff ahead of time and making it so much easier because we're doing it as we go along. And we have another important rule, which is the 18-month rule of promotions, because in an average organization under normal circumstances, promotions typically don't happen faster than once every 18 months. And of course, there's exceptions, but, you know, in general, once every 18 months. And the other chapters, when you go and listen to them of this series, may well tell you why. There's a lot of work to do and a lot to document. And so documenting your progress against that list of requirements and doing that as you go along is one way to ensure that you're on target, that you achieve that 18-month timetable rather than getting to that 18-month point and thinking, right, I'm ready to be promoted. And then finding out, oh, there's that 6 months of customer-facing role that you have to do that nobody told you. And now you don't get to do this for another 6 months. And many people, if you tell them 18 months, they think it's too slow. But the problem is that they don't start thinking about it early enough. And so they end up missing out on the things that they could document or they could have taken the opportunity to do or they didn't know was a requirement, and then they miss out and they end up going slower than they want to. So this is an exhortation, an encouragement to start now, even if you're 12 months in or, you know, 17 months and that you think your promotion should be coming soon. It's never too late to start planning and start documenting what you need. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks, everyone. That's all for this week. Join us next week as we discover a new topic. Bye, everyone.
Bye.